Hi team, welcome to the Escape Podcast for Star Wars The Old Republic. This episode, you'll hear about the news and we'll jump to some conclusions about the PTS and maybe talk about what vanquished enemies are best served to your Selkie Hound. As usual, we have an astromech standing by to record this and get dumped into deep space to find his way to all of you. You all set, EPC-03? Good, good. No, that's fine. You just stand right there by the airlock door. You'll be just fine, little guy. Okay. Hi, Seema. How's it going?
It's going pretty well.
Actually, that sounds like it's going great.
Yeah, you caught me post-op, so I'm having a little relaxation time now.
Perfect. Well, that should go well. And what have you been up to this week?
Well, oddly enough, I spent some time farming this week, which I haven't done in a long time. It really hasn't been a major activity for me in Star Wars. But this week I got a bee in my bonnet and I did some kind of serious farming. I went into the black hole. I went into the area where you free the little, you free the little Drawl engineers. And in there, there's these three elites. They're called Torvix Overseers. And I just went from one to the next to the third and then back to the first one again, over and over again. And I was looking for the schematic for, you know, one of the magenta crystals, which may or may not drop there. I really don't know. But I went in there on my scoundrel because that's my artificer. And he was like level 52 when I started this. And now he's level 55, basically just from doing that and no schematic. So I think I'm done farming.
Yeah. Farming up those schematics or a random world drop, I never have had very much luck with in any game, in any MMO. I've gone after that kind of stuff before. Didn't Wags find it or was...
Oh, Wags actually was doing the same thing because we kind of... we're sort of going back and forth. He did it at a time when I wasn't doing it. And he did get one of them, but it was the crit version. And of course, I was looking for the power version. And I have the endurance version already. So we have two, and we just need the third one now. But actually, apparently, I'm done farming because I haven't, ever since I got him to 55, I haven't really felt the desire to go back there and keep trying.
Although you were raking in the credits.
Yeah, right? Yes. I have to say it was an incredible amount of credits for the amount of effort. I mean, it's one of those things where if you're in the mood, you just go kill, 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 and maybe put something on Netflix streaming. Wags, of course, who's much better at the, you know, killing in general, because I'm your basic healer. He was really raking in the dough, but even I made something like 500k credits just doing it off and on Saturday.
Yeah, didn't you tell me the first time you went in there was some dude that was like grinding away and claiming to be raking in whole bunches of credits, and I was skeptical when I heard about it. I didn't really think there was much sort of mob grinding in this game. I remember gold farmers back in the day in WoW, for example, would find little pockets of mobs and just grind and grind and grind. And that's how they would get all their gold to sell. But
I guess because the area was one that, you know, got a lot of scrutiny in the early days of the black hole because there was a problem. People would stack up in there waiting for the spawn rate, and they must have upped the spawn rate. So basically you can kill this elite, then the second one, then the third one, and go back to the first one. And you, unless someone else is killing them, you usually don't have to wait for him to spawn. He's just there again already.
Sounds good to me.
And you don't have to be Republic to do it, because Wags, when he was doing it on his, he was doing it on an Empire too. He's just have to go in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I get my credits other ways, but,
you get yours by clicking.
Never turn down extra credits.
Yeah, true.
So this week I did visit the PTS, which we'll talk about. We did our hard mode scum and villainy. That was interesting. We got through the first boss. We wiped a couple times. For no particular reason, though, did we? We were okay.
Yeah.
We got through the first boss pretty easily. We've got that on farm, I'd say. And then we spent some time. We only did like two or three attempts on, what's the big robot's name?
Titan Six.
Titan Six.
Really? You remembered as two or three attempts? I remember it as about 10 or 15 attempts.
Well, we didn't have that much time because we started a little late and it was only maybe it was longer. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm, blocking it out.
I have to say, and Maki and I were talking about this, I had more fun wiping on Titan Six and trying it again and making little adjustments than, you know, a month of doing Taboro's Courtyard.
Yeah, I guess. I don't mind. I know Maki doesn't like Taboro's Courtyard either, but I don't mind it so much. I heard Maki didn't like it this tonight because he stood in the laser. he's going to be mad. but yeah, so we wiped on Titan Six for a little while. Everybody was just getting used to pick, you know, you got to have your own rock. You got to deal with the grenade, the giant AoE grenade. And we were, just because we were learning the dance, we were a little slow on DPS. So when we finally learned the dance, we realized that we weren't DPSing hard enough and need to taco a bit harder. But yeah, Titan Six, he's a pretty cool robot. I don't know why I forgot his name.
I have to say, I felt sorry for the tanks because when they get pounded into the ground, if you've ever watched their characters, they get pounded into the ground almost up to their necks, and while they're down there, they're like struggling trying to get out, but there's nothing they can do. It's funny. I mean, no, it's, but I feel bad for them.
I think it's hilarious. And I hope I don't have to off tank that fight. But yeah, Titan Six, he's awesome. The other thing, I don't know why I didn't notice this before, maybe because I'm always swinging around to the other side, but I like how he's like arms crossed, you know, leaning against the rock wall when you go in there. And he says things like, Titan Six has no allies. Titan Six needs no allies. So
yeah, he's a favorite boss of mine now. I'm always surprised when a droid has an attitude of, you know, like he's leaning against the wall, like he's very casual. Or like when you're out in the world and a droid has like a vibra sword or something and comes running up to hit you with it, it's like, it just seems like a weird thing for a droid to do. They should just hit you with lasers or something, or some, you know, charges of electricity.
Very anthropomorphic.
If you were going to make a robot that was a killing machine, would you say, okay, and he's going to hold a sword and then he's going to run up and swing it at you?
No, I certainly would not. I've got a whole theory on robots and how robots should be, and bipedal humanoid looking robots to me are ridiculous in real life, but that's just me. I'll tell my stories on robot design in some other time. So what else? I put another level or two or three on my sniper and got to I think 48, which means I got orbital strike finally. Boy, you gotta go pretty far before you finally get that. So yeah, I got orbital strike. It is awesome. I'm gonna be using that some more, and then get him to. I'll get him certainly to 50, and then start pinging away at some of the dailies and get in onto my cab and mess around. But I got the itch this week. I didn't do it yet. I didn't pull the trigger, but I'm gonna roll a marauder, I think. And I got to level that up next.
Yeah, since I got my scoundrel.
I haven't finished that class story.
To 55, I just, and it was so easy. I said, why am I waiting on my other characters, my other 50s? So I started, I'm going to level my operative to 55 now too.
Yeah, so I've got to do that still. And then I think all I'll have left of class stories to go through would be the smuggler. Oh, and a little bit more of the Jedi Knight. I didn't finish that one either. And then last but not least, I did go and buy a fractal off the GTN. And so now you get that whoosh and then the fractal sound every time I'm mounting and dismounting. That sounds a little something like this. Which you still hear all over or had they fixed it on the fleet? They did not. It's not fixed on the PTS. I'll tell you that because I was like in the middle of lava fields.
If they fix it on the fleet, they unfix it on the PTS. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it is the case that the PTS is running on some slightly older code. I think for the main branch, it must be the way they're adding the new code in. They're adding it into an older code of the current branch because there are some old bugs that aren't fixed. I noticed in the PTS, so that could very well be the case. But yeah, that's it. So Ractyl sounds and Tauntaun sounds all over the place. There'll be more.
Oh, you and your millions of credits. I'll have to call you Duck McMoneybags or whatever.
Whatever that dude's name is. But that brings us to news headlines. And this week I'm calling it the news headlines of doom. I don't know why. Just I ran out of superlatives.
Cool. You so ran out of superlatives?
Week, yes, I did. Super interesting galactic news items. I think I used up everything in the last two. So this week, news items that we care about. Emergency medical table and mood:outraged. So what, they screwed up the cartel boxes in the most recent release of the cartel market boxes that they added. They left these two things out, even though they said, hey, these things are going to be in there. So, which I thought was pretty cool of them, they said, fine, we screwed up. They put them in the cartel area down on the fleet on one of the vendors down there for one credit, and anybody can just go and buy them as many as you want. That was nice.
Yeah, since you told me about that, I went down and bought them. They're on the, not the rep vendors, but the cartel vendors, like on the other side of the room where there's four of them sort of like up on a stage. And yeah, you can find them really easily just by looking at the price, you know, scroll down and run your eye down the right. It'll be the only ones that cost one credit.
Yeah. Yep. But don't forget to go down there. Hopefully they won't take them away right away. But everyone, if you are interested in getting that medical table, that also looks like a torture table from the Imperial fleet.
Well, and also
you should go grab one of those.
You kind of writhe around on it too. It kind of looks like you are being tortured.
It's a bit disturbing.
And when when it's over, you kind of escape from it. So it's, yeah, it is kind of disturbing.
Okay, so it's quote unquote medical table.
Yeah.
That's nice. Next news item, bounty contract week is coming back on Tuesday. So it'll be back. I don't know when people will be listening to this podcast, but it comes back once a month. It has changed slightly. There was a dev who had this to say about it.
I am altering the deal. Pray I don't alter it any further.
And what they did, in theory, that this was supposed to be the original design, but what they did is they made it so you can, per character, you can only kill any individual kingpin once during that week that the bounty contract week is back. So if you kill, you know, XYZ kingpin, he's in theory then dead. You got to him and you killed him and he's gone that week.
So I can go to Alderaan and kill Claw, for instance, but just one time in the whole week. Whereas the last, when it was here before, I could have done him every day if I had, yes, the contracts for it. Okay.
Yeah, which I did. I killed Claw many times. As soon as you, because he was one of the first ones I unlocked, and then I killed him every day along with a henchman to get double the contract bonuses. So yes, one Claw per week per character. So you can still unlock on other characters. So I have a few planets unlocked on a handful of characters. You can continue to unlock more. So there'll be plenty to do. It'll only be the people that we're hoping to, you know, grind to legendary just all in one week this week that will potentially have problems getting it done. But that's the way it's supposed to be.
Chillax.
Yeah. It'll come over time. So yeah, they altered that deal slightly. And finally, news headlines. We did have another week of the Amazing Race this past week, which I think worked out pretty well. It was a good challenge, and people got some good stuff out of it related to what you were talking about earlier, the magenta crystals. So you want to talk about that and explain what Pell had lined up for us this week?
Well, at least one leg of the Amazing Race, they had to run around and follow the little, it's not really a quest line, but it's the series of things you have to do in order to get the magenta Adigan or Adigan crystal, which ends in killing a little mini boss on Ilum. And so that was part of the race. And then they had to find Pell, who was in a hidden location. And we also had a section that was on Tatooine where they had to go to each of the nests and try to lure. Hoth,
yeah.
Yeah.
The little baby tauntauns. Yeah, that magenta crystal is a pretty cool old school quest line or undiscovered quest line. It's just a series of things you need to do to get that crystal. And it does span three planets, which made it sort of ideal for this leg of the race.
Right.
So you go to Tatooine, you got to get the water, then you got to go to Hoth and got to go to the top of the highest mountain. And then Pell threw in an extra roadblock, which was after you come down off the mountain, you go to the, you just, he gave everyone at the top of the mountain, he gave them all a stack of the Tauntaun food or whatever the little lures are. And you had to go to each of the nests only once. And then he added that as a scoring mechanism too. However many Tauntaun data tokens that you had by the end, that got added to your total. And the winner got all of the Tauntaun data tokens by the end too. So in addition to their prize of the other speeder that they got, that they won this week, they got all the tokens basically to buy themselves another Tauntaun. But then you got to go to Ilum, and then you got to fight the space ghost. And we helped people out, but having some sort of fighting component to a race leg seems to work out well as well. So I thought it shaped up pretty well.
Yep, I agree. I'm looking forward to
and
the
there's
one
another
tomorrow
leg this
night.
Week, right?
Yeah, exactly. Tomorrow night.
Yeah, so that one's a mystery. No hints, but it'll be. So this will be leg 4 of 5, correct?
That is correct, sir. Two more to go. Tomorrow and then the following Tuesday. And then the grand winner will be announced.
Yes, grand winner of 1 million credits. but I think people will be more interested in just saying that they won. I think it's getting closer. Dinesh was in a heavy lead in the beginning because she like answered like triple the number of trivia questions of anyone
else.
She was a trivia demon. Yeah, she's the fastest typist is what she said, but she did a good job and had some good tools at her disposal. But it's getting closer and closer because the people who've been winning the last couple rounds have been stacking up extra points. So I think Dinesh is technically still in the lead, but it's still anybody's race. So
right. I agree.
So that should be cool. All right. That brings us to our random segment of the week. And this week we are doing a segment called Conclusion Jumping.
It's like Datacron jumping without getting caught in the terrain.
Yeah.
Okay. This is where we talk about things that we have opinions on, but we know very little about.
That's thumbs down from all the devs listening to our podcast right now.
Yeah, all the legions of them.
Yeah. So yes. And the conclusions that we're going to jump to this week are based on our limited time visiting the PTS.
Right.
Which is pretty cool, though. So we did each spend some time there and got a look at it.
Yep.
So what did you visit while you were there?
I was there for probably about a half an hour, so I am really an expert. What I saw there was, it's kind of a lava environment, and I saw killed some mobs, picked up, once you go in there, you pick up an area quest, which I assume it's a daily quest, probably is. So as I was exploring, I killed a few mobs and completed that quest. So it's actually pretty good rewards for that quest as dailies go. I can see that on like day 1, 2, and 3, it might be a little frustrating competing with people to get 50 mobs. But after that, I think it'll be easy.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, there are a lot of mobs all over the place. I mean, you can't walk 2 feet without stumbling over packs of them, and they're serious business. They're as hard as any open world trash in the game. So they're sort of that Makeb level. I felt like,
yeah.
So if they keep them tuned to that level, which I expect them to, I bet there'll be plenty to kill.
Probably right.
So I did too. I killed my 50. You get the rep token, and you said it was level 66 mods in a piece of gear that you got out of the artifact container.
Yeah, it was a purple chest piece, and it had purple mods and enhancements and arm rings that were level 66.
Wow!
So good treat gear. Yeah.
Treat gear. Oh, yeah.
I still have a few more treats to gear up.
Yeah, we got feedback that half our guildies now feel like they have to go get a treat since that's always seemed to been talking about.
Yeah.
Right, treat? Yep, yep. Which ninga ninga? Right, I know, right?
All treat all the time.
But yeah, so that is a nice piece of gear. And I do expect, so I explored the whole map and more. I did some cliff jumping and tried to get into an area that I don't think you're supposed to necessarily be able to get to. It wasn't an exploit, but I took some screenshots while I was there. And I posted them to see if anybody can try to get to where I got to. But in addition to the place where there's the new operations, which we can talk about, although we didn't get into them, there's three other main areas of the zone, this planet Oricon that you go to. There's the central watchtower, and then there's a zone in the south and a zone in the north, and each of the watchtower and those two other zones have a force field zone in for a mini instance of some kind. I expect those to be additional daily quests. I don't know if they were open on some other version of the test server, but they weren't this time around when I checked. But I expect a significant number of dailies across that planet, similar probably to Section X.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like to me. It's dense like Section X. Dense with mobs.
Yes, quite dense. So I got in the north, and I don't know if you... Each section, sort of each quadrant, seems to have a slightly different mix of mobs. There are these tentacle things coming out of the ground in the north.
No, I didn't get that far.
Nasty. Yeah, so I'm sure you're going to have to go kill X number of tentacles at some point, but those were a little crazy looking. And what else were we talking about? Travel options across the zone seem slightly different than other places. So you land, what is it when you land on the landing zone? There's a beacon.
Landing beacon.
Which is like a big post coming out of the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, when I saw it there, I thought it might be a lore item. So, of course, I went up and clicked on it. But it's how you get back to your ship.
Yeah, you got to click on all blue things. You either die to a hidden world boss or you get a lore.
I died on Tatooine that way. I died on boss that way. I just never learn.
Just click them all.
Yeah. Don't mouse over them. Don't read anything. Just click.
I die every time I go to Tatooine.
No, you don't. Oh, I forgot to go to Tatooine and jump into the Sarlacc pit and get the worm food title.
What is it? It's a title?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Worm I got to get that title too. I heard Pell talking about it. I think that was the first thing he did after the servers came up, which is awesome. And you cannot get it, I heard, by jump. I think Amber Green said you can't get it by jumping into the Sarlacc pit in Scum and Villainy.
Which that would be too funny.
You know, yeah. I keep wanting to go bust up that little party.
In Scum and Villainy.
I think you get a dirt nap.
I wish we would just one night just all jump into it, but I don't think Maki would be up for that.
I thought Spheric said that Sup did. that they cleared those mobs on the other side and they all went and jumped in just for fun. Or somebody did. Yeah, we're going to do it. Yeah, I'm doing it next time around.
I'll jump with you.
So yeah, there's a landing beacon, and that's how you get back to your ship instead of having like the shuttle there and clicking on the shuttle door. There's speeders sitting around, and it looks like when you click on the speeder, you get a selection of locations that you can go to. They weren't operating, but I could see that it would go to like the watchtower steps or maybe the steps of the fortress steps, something like that. And then there's a new travel element, which is when you go to the fortress and you're over where you're zoning into to the fortress operation, on the side, there's two swirling purple Stargate looking things. You don't click on them. You just drive or walk right into them. And that zones you into the little sub area, which is the entrance to the second operation, which is the Dread Palace. Those are new and looked interesting.
It sounds cool. I like purple swirly things in general.
Yeah, they look, the art on them is really nice. And that reminds me, there's a fourth, which is when you go to the watchtower, to get up to the top of the watchtower, if you look on the map, it looks like the little elevator icon on the map. But when you get there, there's a glowing blue pyramid, and you click on the pyramid, and it says, do you want to go, it has the menu choices, like an elevator.
Oh, nice.
Go up to the top of the watchtower.
Is it bigger?
Yeah, they're switching those up.
You mean like a pyramid is like bigger than the normal little elevator things that you click on?
Yeah, so to scale, it would be about, a foot and a half wide at the base. It's sitting like on a pedestal, and it's a blue, glowing blue pyramid bigger than your head.
Oh, that sounds nice. I mean, I kind of sometimes, when I'm trying to click on the elevator, I sometimes have to stand a certain way or back up or whatever, because it's such a small thing to click on. And, sometimes your companion's in the way, or the corner of the elevator door's in the way or whatever. I like a bigger thing to click on.
Yeah, like when you're in Scum and Villainy and you cleared the robot floor, or you finish clearing the dudes up top, and the whole room fills with poison gas, and everybody crowds in the elevator.
Oh yeah,
and you're right. All dying because nobody can click on it.
We're all trying to click on the elevator. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Or like the first time we went in there,
we're just standing in there. Says, okay, elevator, go.
Well, yeah, because Makia said invent. All right, everybody get in the elevator. So we all just walked in and stood there.
Because we always
click
obey
on
him.
It. Yeah. What? You didn't say. Simon didn't say.
Right. Yeah, so. Simon says click on the elevator button.
Yeah, so no more dying to poison for us. So yeah, two operations in there also, the fortress and the palace, Dread Fortress, Dread Palace, I think is what they're called. I didn't get in. I almost got in with a guild group that was going in there and had an open spot, but they were dilly-dallying around. What the guy said when they were messing around is, oh, we're waiting for a couple of our guildies to catch up on the story. So I noticed when you land, there's a little breadcrumb quest that says, of course, you just landed there. Go back to the fleet and talk to some dude.
Right.
Which I didn't do.
No, me either.
I did not bother doing. I went and killed 50 dudes.
Heck no, I'm not going back to the fleet now.
Yeah, screw that. Because it's 2,600 credits to fly back here, and the quick travel terminals don't work yet. And
you only
need
have,
that 2,600 credits.
26 million credits.
I got to, how am I going to pay for my chilled Corellian cocktails?
That's right.
So anyway, two operations. I may or may not take a look. I tend to like to wait for those things to get released, and I'm sure we'll be in there soon enough. But that planet seems good. It'll be something else to do, and I'm excited about new operations, a couple places to go hang out, story mode and hard modes, they said at least, and I imagine they'll add a nightmare mode eventually. And then the one other thing that I tried out, I don't know if you did, but I did jump into the arenas a little bit and tried some PvP arena style, which was interesting.
So now
did you do that?
You queued up by yourself, right? And then just got randomly put into a group?
Well, the PTS went live a few weeks ago, or a week and a half, two and a half weeks ago. And I think most of the people tried it then. So the PTS is pretty sparsely populated right now. So if you try to solo queue, I was queued up for a couple hours solo, or at least an hour, and nothing happened. So I did form a group. There was some other dudes. We were talking in general. There's more people on the server, but there was only about 8 people on the fleet, or 7 people on the fleet. So 4 of us formed a group, and must have been 4 other people either elsewhere or... No, they were Republic. So 4 Republic dudes must have queued up too. We both formed up as ranked teams and queued as a ranked team. That was the only way we were able to get in. So that must be what everyone's doing just to make sure that they can get in. And it was good. It's a solid arena format. You know, jump down, best 2 out of 3, 4v4, exactly what you'd expect from an arena. So if you are interested in PvP arena style ranked matches, pit your team against another team, get a little bit of tactics, but basically it's deathmatch kill. You will get what you are looking for out of this.
So now, I think that's kind of interesting they go best 2 out of 3. I mean, I played arenas pretty extensively in WoW, and it was basically just, you know, win or lose. And then you go on to the next, you know, you get queued again and matched again, and yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think it is interesting. I think it's better. So the first round can almost be throwaway. Size up the competition, figure out what their classes are, figure out what strat they're using. You can see beforehand, as soon as you jump in, what classes and who the people are that you're teamed up against. But you can sort of see how they play, and then you can adjust. And yeah. I think that would really give a better picture of who's, you know, sort of who wins if it's best 2 out of 3.
So basically, though, you come together as a temporary team, because I'm also just realizing in WoW, it was your permanent team and you had a team name and all that stuff, because I was getting ready to ask you, were there team names? But I guess not if you're really queuing all the time. Yeah.
No, so your rank, your solo and team ranked score... Yeah, it's not dependent on a permanent team. So, right, in WoW, you had to form a permanent team, and that team, you know, needed to not, you know, that team persisted. Right. The teams do not persist in this model. You're right.
Okay. That's interesting.
You form the team before you queue, but you can reform afterwards.
Right.
So if you can't get all operatives and marauders and you have to take someone else a different night, then,
yeah.
Then maybe that's what you'll do.
But you're not bitter at all.
Yeah. No, I'm not. No. They're making slight changes to the classes. We may see some different balance that comes out of what they're doing in the patch too. So if you keep watching the patch notes and hear a little bit about what they said in the class forums, besides healing to fall.
Yeah.
There has the potential to be a little bit more a little bit more balance, or some changes that may happen. But I think, you know, some classes still may have some advantages in general, and we'll get that proven out by how the arenas stack up and what arena teams and what arena mixes end up showing us. That's one of the advantages of having this, you know, more pure form of play going on, which I think will be interesting. It was good. The maps seem good. Places to jump around a little bit, but not too much. I'm not a huge fan myself of arena play. I prefer objective PvP a little bit more. But
like flag and make the touchdowns and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I like those mechanics to sort of add a bit of like a timer and some urgency and some different strategy and tactics and variety to a PvP match in addition to the killing.
I can see that.
I mean, who doesn't like killing?
It's like arena play is like distilled down to the purest form. It's like your abilities and how you use them and their abilities and how they use them and your teamwork. Yes. And how you accomplish it and their teamwork. None of this, you know, actually the terrain does figure in a little bit. Now I'm speaking from WoW experience, but I assume the terrain does play in a little bit, like whether or not there are pillars to hump, etc. But
yes.
Yeah. And it's not watered down by all this like objectives and towers and stuff.
Right. 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 Exactly. which does annoy some pure PvP peers. If you're a player that likes dueling, 1v1, use your abilities, they use their abilities, you get to test yourself against someone else, and you'd like a little bit more of a team format, this is going to be a perfect outlet for that. If you're experienced
I don't think an arena player would really compare it to dueling, because dueling, you can basically repeat the same thing. Like if you're dueling your class against another class, you can pretty much repeat the same thing. Like against a marauder, you always do this. Against a sage, you'll always do this. But it's sort of like when it's four people, team against team, it's much more fluid. So I don't know. It doesn't seem very dual.
Yeah, there's... You're right. I mean, the level of complexity is multiplicative across, you know, four people. But I think it's more pure that way. And more similar to dueling from a purity perspective than it is to having the more PvE elements of I have to cap a flag or run some resources or right. do a thing.
Right.
So. Okay. Well, our little EPC-03 droid here is filled up, and I think you ready to go, little guy? Great. Well, thanks for listening. For feedback, comments, or questions for future casts, we can be found on Twitter at MaxTheGray and at AIESema, or come play with us on Jedi Covenant. For AIE Guild information, you can visit aie-guild.org and submit an application, or find us on Facebook at AIESpotor. We will talk to you next week.
See you next time.